Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away. Order.
Calls for the ACT Party leader John Banks to be sacked from his ministerial post outside Cabinet. They came in question for the Prime Minister, John Key, based on police files indicating that Mr. Banks knew that .com had given money to his Auckland mayoralty campaign. Questions included this one from Labour's deputy leader, Grant Robertson.
Why is the Prime Minister prepared to have a minister in his Cabinet who has misled him, his Chief of Staff, and the whole public of New Zealand, when we all know that he received the donations, he asked for the donations, and he even asked for them to be seen as anonymous, as in the papers released yesterday? Why should that minister be in his Cabinet? Why won't he just get on and sack him?
Grant Robertson's questions were answered for Mr. Key by his fourth-ranked Cabinet Minister.
The Honourable Stephen Joyce.
Mr. Speaker, on behalf of the Prime Minister, I think that's because the member, for a number of reasons actually, but firstly the minister concerned was not in the House, in fact not even campaigning to be in the House at the time that the matters under discussion occurred. Secondly, the police found that they wouldn't proceed with prosecution. And thirdly, Mr. Speaker, I think everybody has accepted that the electoral law that applies locally at the time and indeed now does need improving. That's why the government made the announcements it made yesterday. And if the Labour Party was concerned, they had plenty of time to make those changes themselves.
Mr. Joyce then faced this question from Labour's shadow leader of the House, Trevor Mallard.
Does having someone who lied and was shown to lie...
Order.
The Speaker, Lockwood Smith, said MPs could not accuse each other of lying, although Mr. Mallard said he hadn't done that.
At which point did I refer to a member?
I accept the member's point, and if I was premature, I apologise, but the member knows he mustn't refer to an individual member, the Honourable Trevor Mallard.
The Shadow Leader of the House rephrased his question.
Is it his policy to allow people who lie and have been shown to lie to be members of his ministry?
The Honourable Stephen Joyce.
Mr. Speaker, on behalf of the Prime Minister, I'm not asking a particular hypothetical situation. Of course, the member is told the Speaker that it is a hypothetical situation, and I'm acknowledging that. Once again, it is not the job of the Prime Minister to read police files or involve himself in police prosecutions, which seems to be the suggestion. The police determined there was not evidence to prosecute and didn't.
Labour's attempts to table the police files on the Banks case were blocked by the government, and their request for a snap debate was rejected, as was their application for an urgent debate on the closure and merger of schools in Canterbury, although the Speaker invited them to have another go at that one next week. Meanwhile, as well as standing in for the Prime Minister, Stephen Joyce was also speaking on behalf of his deputy, Bill English.
Mr. Speaker, on behalf of the Minister of Finance, the Reserve Bank this morning issued its monetary policy statement for September, which kept the official cash rate unchanged at 2.5%.
More on that now from Rhys Lyon.
Reserve Bank Governor Alan Bollard made his final appearance to the Finance and Expenditure Committee before he retires at the end of the month. Delivering the news on the OCR, Dr. Bollard also took the opportunity to praise the way in which New Zealand sets its cash rate.
It's allowed us to deal with a very tight, growing housing market back in the 2000s. It's allowed us to deal with a very nasty financial event back in 2008. And that's the model that is being used by, I think, about 23 OECD and other banks have picked up on that model, and none of them have left that model yet. So I still think it works for New Zealand.
Retiring Reserve Bank Governor Alan Bollard presenting the quarterly monetary policy statement to the Finance and Expenditure Committee. Elsewhere, the issue of whether or not to Mondayise Waitangi and Anzac Days, if they fall on a weekend, was being considered by the Transport and Industrial Relations Committee. The holidays, full recognition of Waitangi Day and Anzac Day Amendment Bill is in the name of Labour MP David Clark, who appeared before the committee. Dr. Clark gave some detail of how it'd work in practice.
If either of the public holidays, Anzac or Waitangi, falls on a Saturday or Sunday and the day would not otherwise be a working day for the employee, the public holiday must be treated as falling on the following Monday.
And Dr. Clark said his bill would be a boost for the tourism industry.
The Tourism Industry Association, Martin Sneddon, came out in strongly in favour of the bill. You would think that might be persuasive to their minister, who ought to advocate in favour of the industry and their interests.
A slightly cheeky remark, given that the tourism minister is also the Prime Minister, John Key.
And so, I think the Minister of Tourism should be the one leading the charge in favour of this bill. If he doesn't, he is really out of touch with what the industry has directly asked for.
Perhaps wishful thinking there from Labour MP David Clark, hoping to get support from John Key for his holidays' full recognition of Waitangi Day and Anzac Day amendment bill. The Transport and Industrial Relations Committee will report the bill back to the House by January 25.
That report from Rhys Lyon. I'm Tom Frewin, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.